Who was that baby in the manger? We have heard wonderful songs sung to us this morning by our children that have reminded us of the answers to that question. But I ask you again, who was that baby in the manger? You might immediately answer with something like, he was the Messiah. He was the Savior. He was the Son of God. And of course, in all of those answers, you would be absolutely correct. But I might remind you this morning of something a little beyond that, perhaps. And that is that baby in the manger was also prophet, priest, and king. The reason why I mention those three things together, we are going to be engaging in one of those this morning through the prefiguring of Moses. But I mention that Christ is prophet, priest, and king because theologians refer to those as the three offices of Christ. And in each of those offices, as prophet, as priest, and king, he serves as the God-man. And as the God-man, he functions in those offices and serves in those offices as a mediator, as king, which we will be, interestingly, more engaged with next week. A little bit of a teaser there, perhaps. But as king, in his kingly office, he mediates God, as the God-man, he mediates God's rulership over his creation. He is king. Also as priest, and this is something that we should be well aware of and familiar with after our studies and still going on in our studies later on in the new year when we get back to that in the book of Hebrews, that as priest, he mediates, for he represents us in the presence of God, that he mediates as priest through sacrifice, through prayer, enabling us also to enter into the presence of God. He mediates. He mediates as priest. He mediates as the God-man who is priest. But this morning, also, in his priest, in his office as prophet, that Christ is prophet, priest, and king. And that he mediates as a prophet does. He mediates by words. For as a prophet does, he speaks the words of God to humanity. Christ is prophet. He, God, has spoken. He has spoken. God has spoken to humanity in Christ. He has spoken through the mediator, through the prophet Christ, in words. And he has also spoken through Christ as the incarnate Word, the Word made flesh. Indeed, if you think back way to the beginning, to our first Sunday in January of 24, earlier this year, as we began our study in the book of Hebrews, back in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it said that there, didn't it? God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last times spoken unto us by his Son. For the baby in the manger was prophet, was a prophet. And indeed, this morning we will see that he was a prophet like Moses, that the scriptures speak of him that way. A prophet like Moses. He was indeed the, if I can say it this way, as indeed many of our English Bibles translated and depicted for us in our English version, so we get this sense. He was the, capital P, prophet. He is indeed the true and better Moses, the word of the Father now in flesh appearing. So we want to engage that this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. But before we enter into the text, I want to consider the context in the preceding verses. We won't read them, but you can just glance. If you have your Bibles in front of you, you can just glance, and I will simply explain it to you. For I think this context, as is so often the case, is important. The book of Deuteronomy is instructions given through Moses to the people just before they finally enter the land. It literally means, for it is, second law. It is a second giving of the law, a reminder to them of the law that they need to obey as they enter the land. And in chapter 18, verses 9 through 12, the verses preceding our text this morning, the context of our text this morning, in those verses, God, before telling them how they can come to know, how they can come to have an understanding through the prophets and through the prophet, how they can come to knowledge, how they can come to understanding, he first of all warns them how they shall not come to knowledge, how they must not seek after understanding. And that is, in verses 9 through 12, Moses, God through Moses, warns them to not take up the detestable ways of the people who are in the land that they are going to enter into, the Canaanite peoples there. And it is listed there, a number of things, just highlighting them. Listen to these wrongful, detestable ways of seeking after knowledge, seeking after understanding. Do not, he says, engage in witchcraft, in omens, in sorcerers, in mediums, in spiritists, in those who call up the dead. And so this morning, as a lead-in, I first of all ask the general question and remind you through that context of who the children of Israel and who we ought not to be listening to, the means by which we ought not to be seeking knowledge. And I ask you the general question, to whom are you listening? As an introductory question this morning. But more specifically, I want to issue and take this opportunity, because it's right there in the context of our text this morning, I want to issue a warning. I want to issue a warning to our young people, to our parents, to all of us, to beware, because these detestable practices have not been left behind around 1500 BC. These occultish things, these detestable practices, continue to be all around us, even in our city. Beware, for these are spoken of here as an abomination to the Lord. Detestable things and an abomination, for they are the way of death. To whom are you listening? To whom are you listening? But now let's enter into our text this morning then. Let's enter into our text and see Christ, the true and better Moses this morning. First of all, in verses 15 through 17. For in verse 15, we are presented with, and in these introductory verses, we are presented with the baby as prophet and the baby also as mediator, like Moses. Verse 15 says that God promises to raise up for you, people, raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. God promises to raise up a prophet from among them. And in fact, we've already looked at the preceding context. Let's now, just for a moment, cast your eye to the verses that follow. And then we will immediately come back to our text this morning. But let me point out to you the verses that follow from verse 20 on. There are instructions given there for Israel to discern between a false prophet and a true prophet. Why am I reminding you of this? Because there you see that God is, in verse 15 once again, promising a prophet, a capital P prophet. It might even appear in your Bible that way. A prophet, a capital P prophet, the prophet that we are going to be talking about this morning. But he is also promising a line of prophets that were to come. And they need to discern the true prophet from the false prophet. And I say all that to make the point back in our text this morning that when God speaks of this one prophet that we are speaking of this morning, this one prophet in particular in verse 15, this one who is the prophet, this one who is the prophet, he is the prophet then to which all these other prophets, this line of prophets, point. The one to whom these other prophets lead to ultimately. That this one is the prophet at the end of a line of prophets. That he is thus, hear me, connected to the other prophets and yet beyond the other prophets. He is both. He is connected to, he is a prophet in the same way, and yet he is beyond. He is the true and better Moses. He is beyond any of the other prophets, for there has never been a prophet like him. This one is a prophet like Moses also, yet he is beyond Moses. Truly, indeed, Christ is, as we are going to see, the true and better Moses. Let me say once again and remind you once again of Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who in various times and in various ways spoke to the fathers, look at me, by the prophets, through this line of prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Connected to the line of prophets, yet beyond them. Christ, the true and better Moses. Christ, the true and better prophet. So we engage in that now. But once again, as we engage in it, and before we actually fully see what Deuteronomy 15 to 19 has to say about this one, in verses 16 and 17, the next verses in our text, Moses, or God, through the pen of Moses here in verses 16 and 17, speaks of the need for prophets. Why the need of this prophet? Why the need for prophets at all? Why the need for this particular prophet? Why the need for a mediator? Well, consider verse 16. Consider verse 16, first of all. And notice, as my English New King James has, and your version likely has this as well. Notice at the beginning of verse 16, there are quotation marks there. This is a reference to elsewhere. We will be talking about that in just a moment. It says in verse 16 that he will raise this one, in verse 15, like me, from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. And then in verse 16, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. This is a reference embedded right here in our text this morning. We're not jumping around. We're taking where this text is leading us this morning. And this text is saying you must consider Exodus 19. That's what it's a reference to, Exodus 19. And in Exodus 19, you don't need to turn there just now. I would suggest you might want to read it this afternoon. But let me explain what's happening in Exodus 19. There, Israel has been led by Moses. Israel has been led by Moses to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had instructed, as the Lord had commanded. That Moses has led the people in the Exodus out of Egypt, and he has led them, first of all, straight to Mount Sinai, for there they are to meet with God. There they are to receive the law. There they are, in other words, to engage in a covenantal relationship, to engage with a covenant and in a covenantal relationship with God. And verse 5 of Exodus 19 says, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people. And so God instructs Moses, God instructs the people that in further verses, that on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds, however, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base even. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Why? Why are those instructions given? Well, as one who's been studying the book of Hebrews for a year now, you should know the answer to that question. Because sinful man cannot, in and of himself, come into the presence of God. He needs a mediator. He needs a mediator. And God does descend in Exodus 19. God does descend upon the mountain. Amidst, as it says, amidst, and listen to this, thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud so that, listen to this, so that all of the people who were in the camp trembled. They trembled. And thus, we read what it says in Deuteronomy 18, verse 16. Thus we read in a quotation from Exodus 19. Thus they say there, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. I need a mediator. I need a mediator. They need a mediator. They need a prophet. And look back here again in Deuteronomy 18 at the next verse. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. It is true. They do need a mediator. That's Exodus 19. That's what's being referred to in Deuteronomy 18, verses 16 and 17. And back in verse 15, when God said, I'm going to raise up a prophet, here's why. Here's why he needed to raise up a line of prophets. And ultimately, all leading to the fact that he needed to raise up the prophet like Moses, yet beyond Moses. He needed to do so because the people need a mediator, they need a prophet. And thus, we continue on, back in Deuteronomy 18, and the next verse. We continue on to verse 18 now, where God again, as he did in verse 15, he does again now. Having explained the need for the prophet in verses 16 and 17, he goes on again in verse 18 to promise a prophet, to promise the prophet. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. Let's stop there for now. And let's address an obvious question. An obvious question, but one that we've already answered. We've answered it in the title of my message this morning. You know the answer to this, but I need to ask it nonetheless, for we need to see this from Scripture and not just have Craig telling you this. And the obvious question is, for somebody who's reading Deuteronomy 18, especially for the first time, is who is this prophet? Who is this prophet that the Lord will raise up? And I mention that because actually it's not an obvious thing. It may be obvious to us because of the way we've been carrying on already this morning. But if you're reading Deuteronomy 18 for the first time, it might not be obvious to you. In fact, I think some people are somewhat surprised when we talk about these things, that they haven't thought of Christ in this way. For that is the answer to the question. It is Christ. But first of all, let me just very quickly address another possibility. Who is he not? who is this prophet not? Because you might be tempted to think, well, perhaps this is John the Baptist. For though John the Baptist appears in the New Testament, John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament prophets. He is the forerunner of Christ. And therefore, when Deuteronomy speaks of the prophet, perhaps we might be tempted to think of, well, that's probably John the Baptist. He was the prophet. He was the one who was the forerunner of Christ. Well, if you did think that way, you wouldn't be alone, because the religious rulers wondered about that at the time of John the Baptist. And in John 1:21, the religious rulers come to John the Baptist and they say, are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? No, no. Are you the prophet? No, I'm not, John the Baptist said. It's not John the Baptist. It's not any other of this line of prophets leading up. Whoever you think of as the greatest prophet in that line of prophets, it's not him. But rather, and again, for the sake of time, regrettably perhaps, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to read this morning, but I'm going to carefully note this, and all these references are, of course, in the outline that is in your bulletin. But in Acts chapter 3, verses 20 through 23, Peter has just healed the lame man in Acts chapter 3. And now on the Temple Mount in Solomon's portico, he is preaching there. And in that sermon, one of the first apostolic sermons, one of the first sermons following the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, Peter there makes the point that the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, quoting Deuteronomy 18, that was Christ, that is Christ, that he is the prophet of Deuteronomy 18. So, in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, as God, again, as he did in verse 15 through Moses, here in verse 18, promises this capital P, if you will, prophet. Who is he speaking of? He is speaking of Christ. So understand that. And now let's engage fully and even more. For now we reach the point, the most important point this morning. Because again, I've entitled this as part of our series, Christ the True and Better Moses. And twice now you've heard where this is coming from in the text, in different words, when God twice now has said, the Lord your God will raise up for you, because this is Moses speaking, will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses says. And then again, he quotes God in verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses. So the question is for this morning, and the point is for this morning, how is it that the prophet, how is it that Christ in this way as prophet is like Moses? So we're going to engage it this way and answer the question this way, by considering what sort of prophet Moses was. And as we do so, I would ask you this question. What was the most noteworthy aspect of Moses? What was in particular the most noteworthy aspect of Moses as prophet? Well, you don't need to listen to me telling you what I think, because it's recorded once again in Scripture, once again in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34:10 tells us the following. This is written after the death of Moses. So under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, another unknown individual has included this as the epilogue to the book of Deuteronomy. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses. No, 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 no. Down the line, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses. In what way? Whom the Lord knew face to face. That is the most particular and important point about Moses, that he is identified like no one else. God spoke to him, and it's spoken of also in the book of Exodus, how God spoke to Moses face to face. And so now when we come to the question of how is Christ prophet like Moses? How is Christ the true and better Moses? Well, God spoke to Moses face to face. Therefore, even so, Christ. Let me illustrate this idea of face to face a little bit more, a little bit further. How many of you, and I'm actually asking for a show of hands here, how many of you at least once have experienced miscommunication, as you have attempted, it may be minor, it may be more important, but some sort of communication glitch when you have attempted to say something via email or text? Show of hands. I expect every single hand to be up here. We've all experienced that. Now, emails and texts, by the way, don't think my point of my sermon is to slam emails and texts. Emails and texts are wonderful things when used aright. But we've all experienced that. Now, a second show of hands. Of those people, virtually all of you, who've experienced such miscommunication by email or text, again, show me your hands if the following is true. If you think that perhaps that miscommunication might have been not so had you communicated face to face. Okay, there we go. I was counting on that, but... Exactly. I was quite confident of that. And you see the point, don't you? God spoke to Moses face to face. But since then, there has not arisen a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. However, later on, after that, after those words were recorded under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Deuteronomy chapter 34, after that, there was one. For in the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. And the Word was with God. And I do that because biblical scholars will tell you that preposition with God carries with it very much the nuance and the idea of face to face with God. Indeed, I wouldn't be surprised, I haven't sought out every English translation, but I wouldn't be surprised if some English translations of John 1 say, and the Word was face to face with God, for that's what it means. A prophet like Moses. A prophet like Moses. For God spoke face to face with Christ, with the Word. And therefore, we move on. And in Deuteronomy 18, in the second part of that verse, having again promised that he would raise up this one, he himself, God himself, through the pen of Moses in Deuteronomy 18:18, explains for us and unpacks for us right here why this prophet will be like Moses, be the true and better Moses, as we have put it, because he goes on and says, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Even so, Christ. Even so, the Word who is face to face with God, even so that one speaks exactly what the Father would have him say. This is not the only time in Scripture that we see this. In fact, previous to Hebrews, we spent a number of years going through the Gospel of John, and it comes up again and again in the Gospel of John. I will just reference John 12:49. For I, Jesus says there, For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. There it is, a command. What I should say and what I should speak. Do you not hear Deuteronomy 18:18 there? This one is like Moses, for he is face to face, and therefore he speaks only exactly what God has commanded it to speak. There is no breakdown in communication here. There is no telephone game going on here. You all know the telephone game, right? You line up or you're in a circle, and one person, the first person, whispers a message into the ear of the next person, and then it goes around the room and comes. You've all played this, haven't you? Sure. And it comes around at the other end, and then the last person says what they heard. And it's nothing like what was initially said. Not here. The Father gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Christ, the true and better Moses. And thirdly, and finally, at least for this morning, again, from Deuteronomy 18, Christ is the true and better Moses. Christ is like Moses in the following sense. And this also is, by the way, here in our text this morning, but we need to see it. He is also the true and better Moses. He is also like Moses in that he is also mediator. A prophet is a mediator, but Christ is a prophet, or is a mediator, excuse me, not only as a prophet, but he is a mediator as a covenant mediator. Remember Exodus 19 that I spoke of earlier. Remember Exodus 19 as it's referred to in our text this morning in verses 16 and 17. Remember there that the people were terrified, that they needed a mediator, lest I die, they said. And God granted them that mediator in Moses, a prophet who would mediate God's words, first of all, so they did not have to listen to the voice, the terrifying voice of God, but also a mediator who would mediate the covenant with God. That was Moses back then. But even so, Christ, he mediates as prophet, speaking God's words, and he mediates as a covenant mediator. He mediates the new covenant. He mediates the new covenant by his death. What does he say at the Last Supper? What do we say each time we engage in the Lord's Supper in communion? This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And thus we also see and saw in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now he has obtained, Christ has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Christ, the true and better Moses, as prophet and as covenant mediator. Now, you might wonder, I haven't really fully yet explained and engaged only slightly this idea of Christ as covenant mediator, but I will do so now more as we come to a conclusion. And so, in conclusion, you shall hear. You shall hear. For there's a massive implication back here, once again, in our text, in Deuteronomy 18. There's a massive implication in this text, and is explicitly given in verse 15 and then again in verse 19 as we conclude here. It's given positively in verse 15, it's given negatively in verse 19. And here it is positively in verse 15, this huge implication. If he is the prophet, if he is mediating my words, if he is one who speaks, I speak face to face with, if he is the one and the only one who delivers every exactly word that I have commanded him to deliver, then what's the implication? It's right there for you in Deuteronomy 18, 15. Him you shall hear. Him you shall listen to. And it's spoken of negatively in verse 19. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So there's our conclusion. There's the implication. You shall hear. If Christ, if the Word, if the prophet speaks exactly what God would have him speak, then here's a question. Shouldn't we listen? We're responsible, and hear me here, and here I speak to myself. We're responsible not only to read God's word. We're responsible not only to study God's word. We're responsible, I'm responsible, not only in my office week by week to diagram out God's word, to extract from it what the message that should be that I deliver on Sunday mornings. But more than that, we are responsible to respond. We are responsible to obey God's word. To obey it, to respond to it, to respond to the gospel, to respond aright to all of God's words, all of God's words delivered to us through the prophet, through Christ. And again, this implication is mentioned negatively in verse 19. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, hear the warning here. Whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. I will require it of him. One day, you, I, each one, shall stand before Christ the judge. Every one of us. Will he say to you on that day, why did you not obey? And if he does say that, what will be your answer? But if we do respond aright, and with this we move to a conclusion. If we do respond aright to the words of Christ, the prophet, to the gospel, then wonderfully he is to us a mediator of a better covenant and of better promises. And so to close, I invite you to consider another mountain. That was from verse 16, pointing us back to Exodus 19. That was Mount Sinai. That was the first covenant. That was the law. But I invite you now, in conclusion, to consider another mountain and another covenant. This one is actually, perhaps not what you might be expecting, is in Matthew 17. It's the Mount of Transfiguration, where Christ appears along with Moses and Elijah, mark you, in all of his glory, in his resurrected glory. And Christ appears there as such to Peter and James and John only, who've been invited up onto the mountain. And there at the conclusion of the matter, hear this. A bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him! There you have it once again. But that's not the most wonderful part. That's the command, that's the implication of our text spoken of once again. Hear him, listen to him. But listen to how it then concludes further from there. For these ones who have gathered on the mountain, and the glory of God, the glory of Christ has been revealed to them. And they've heard a voice. You see the similarity, don't you? And listen to how they respond. Peter and James and John, we are told in the next verses, fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Just like back then. But now listen. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. Christ, the prophet like Moses, Christ, the covenant mediator like Moses, like Moses, yet beyond Moses, the true and better Moses, mediating a better covenant with better promises, such that to those who do hear him, Christ says now to that one, and Christ will say on that day when that one stands before him, arise and do not be afraid. Let's pray. Gracious Father, may we hear Christ today. May we hear Christ ever. May we embrace him. May we embrace his words. May we obey and submit and respond aright to his words, to the gospel. And thus, may in that day, each one of us hear those words, arise and be not afraid. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.